We're in Shmuel Aleph Perek Bet. We're up to Pasuk Vav, page 12, double-sided sheets. All right. So this is the middle of the, how some interpret it, 10 psukim full of Chana's song, Chana's tefillah, Chana's song. This is already after Shmuel's birth. So we saw already the first five of those psukim. So now we're at the Pasuk Vav. Hashem Mamis Umechayim. Hashem is Mamis. Then people die, and he also causes people to be born. Morid Sha'ol V'Yo'al. Morid, Mr. Sion translates Meloshin Yerida. So he lowers people to the Sha'ol, to the grave, or some interpret to Gehenna. V'Yo'al. And then he raises them up. So this, the Radak asks the question. Doesn't make sense when it says that Hashem is Mamis Umechayim. He causes people to die, and then he causes people to be born. He gives death, and then gives life. It's out of order. Most people are born, and then they die. So that's what the Radak points out over here, on the top of page 14. Omer b'tchila mamis, v'yachar kach mechaya, behefchay. It's out of order, right? What does it mean? First it mentions that Hashem causes death. Good evening. And then right afterwards it says Hashem causes light. Doesn't make any sense. Oh, that's going to say that at the end. We skip a few lines over here where I underlined it toward the very bottom. There's two explanations. One is Oshahai, that'll be the second answer. Oshahai may miss Machaya on the Almas Machaya. Remez Lugmul Hatsadikim Oinish. Harishoyim b'nafshol sum has to do with schar and onesh, or in the Radapin page 14 pasuk vav, that Hashem meimis chayim means Hashem punishes the rishoyim, Hashem gives reward to the tzaddik. But the Radak says the more famous approach, o omer pasuk zeh b'derech nevuah, o b'derech kabbalah al tchias hameisim l'osel vavoi. So what Chana's alluding to over here in her tefillah, or her song, is Hashem Mamis Mechaya, as we understand it in our tefillah. Hashem is Mechaya Mason. Okay, that's on page 14. So that's how the Radak interprets. You can say, so why is she darshening and talking about Nebuah Tchias HaMesim? So you can say logically that that's maybe the experience that she felt. She felt comparable to dead inside, or barren, unable to give forth life. Hashem Mechayim Mesim, she was able to, she was given this vitality and be able to be revived in a sense of getting another lease on life. If we look at the Mesudas David on this pasuk, of Hashem Mamis Mechayim, and the key word is the first word, Ratzalomar Lo B'mikraba, didn't just happen by chance, all of a sudden, now I became, I was able to conceive. Ki'im yad Hashem asa sazayis. It was completely the hand of Hashem. And even though it may be obvious, but it's something which a person has to have that hakara and have their karsatov for the things that were done for them. So others interpret as follows, a little bit different than what's the pashup shan. This is also brought down in English over here, but the Mishpatzot Zahav brings a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Daf Kuf Tes, which is toward the end of Chelek, which will be up to in a few weeks on Shabbos. This is what the Gemara says. I'm having in front of you. I apologize. Darish Rabbi Eliezer. He darshins from the pasuk that we just learned of Hashem Mamis and Mechayim Morid Sha'ol V'Yoal, refers to the fact that Korach, will Korach have a portion Olam Haba per Chelek? Korach Yeshalhem Chelok Olam Haba. Valeim Akosav Omer, and this is what Chana was saying, Hashem Mamis Mechayim Morid Sha'ol V'Yoal, referring to that Korach should be able to have the Ches Vesim. And then, according to the words of the Chidah, it says Korach will be given a portion of the world to come. That Chana was the spal over here, that he should be delivered and elevated from the grave, and he should be granted. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. and why was she focused on this at this particular time? So the Chidah says as follows, that what was Korach's mistake? It's because Korach saw that there was going to be someone that was going to be an incredible person.
Shmuel.
Happened to be Shmuel HaNavi. But his mistake was that he thought that he had that Shmuel within him, that he was the next Navi, or he's the one that should be equivalent, because we know that, as the Pasuk said, that Shmuel was comparable, was shuffled to Moshe and Aaron, right? So therefore, Korach felt, you know, I should be able to replace these two guys. That was the whole Vayikach Korach, the whole Machlokas over there. And therefore, Chana, according to this pshat, let me just read this one line, Main Siba Rechoka Ksas Garma Ba'avera Hanal. She felt that somehow, some way, her tefillah, which of course happened after Korach, which had caused her to be able to have a Shmuel, which without her tefillah, maybe she wouldn't have been able to have such a great child, such as Shmuel. It was the Korach tefillah that was able to produce a Shmuel. So therefore, she felt somewhat responsible to Korach for being misled to think that he'll become that great Navi. And therefore, because of this, that is the reason why she was mispalel, and that's why the Gemara in fact says, based on this pasuk, that Korach in fact was zocha to chai olam haba. It's brought down over here in the English as well, but it's not necessary to read it because that's what we just said. All right, that's pasuk vav of Hashem meimis and mechai. Hashem moirish u'mashir. So Hashem is Moirish, says Mesudas Sion, that's an Inyan and Niois. So Hashem can make people poor, and also Mashir, makes them wealthy. Mashvil af Meroimi, he makes them humble, as it's translated, and he elevates them as well. So Hashem is able to do it all. And the way that the Ralbag, which is brought down here in English as well, says that the idea of this is that there's, when it comes to wealth, affluence, there's nothing permanent. A person who is poor should not despair, just like Chana should not never despair, she didn't lose hope. So too, a person who is wealthy should not become overly confident, thinking that they'll always have that wealth. You shouldn't always feel that what you have is going to be around forever. That's how the Ralbag interprets it. If we look at the Radak points out something unusual about this pasuk. It's not consistent. The pasuk says, Hashem moirish u'mashir. Okay, Hashem makes poor rich and rich. Mashvil af miroimim. Where's the word af? He even does this. He even elevates. Very fascinating radak over here. Not too long, but a very interesting radak, which is so true. Af miroimim hariboy. What is the af coming to say that he even does this? What's harder to do? To fall down flat on your face or to elevate oneself? Much more to elevate yourself. That takes a lot of work. So therefore, that's the proper language, that to humble someone, that Hashem could do, no problem. That's easy. That's something which we can easily do. Also ourselves, we can fall to the ground. But Af Meroimim, he also has the capacity of elevating the people around as well. And that, of course, is what we see. Unfortunately, we saw it on September 11th. It could take years and years to construct the most beautiful architecture and buildings, but all it takes is one coward to take a plan and smash it down. And that's how it is with life. When it comes to the Avodas Hashem, one has to constantly, constantly work, but be so careful, because so much easier could we slip and lose ground. And that's the idea of Mashvil Af Meroimim, that also Hashem even elevates people, not only drops them down, which is much harder to do. Pasuk Ches sounds pretty familiar to us, as we'll see. Mekim Mi'afar Dal Mi'ashpos Yarim Ebyo V'Hashiv Im Divim. And then the rest is a little bit different than what we're familiar with from Hallel. B'Kisei Kavod Yanchilei. All right, let's stop at that part. Let's translate this. So, Mekim Mi'afar Dal, he's able to establish and raise up the person who is a Dal, poor person, Mi afar, from the dirt. Hashem is able to lift up the person all the way down. Mi ashvos, says the Mesudas Sion, what are the ashvos? Hu mokom hashlachas hazevel. That's the place where you throw the dirt, the fertilizer, the garbage. From the garbage heaps, yorim evyon. Hashem is able to elevate and lift up the evyon, the person who was poor and impoverished. Lahoshiv im nedivin. Lahoshiv, that they should dwell and sit among those who are in nediv. Nedivim, as the Mesudas Sion translates, are the sarim v'chashuvim, to sit among the nobles, the chashuv individuals. So on one hand, you were at one part like a bum sitting in the garbage, and Hashem has the capacity to lift you up to sit among the most chashuv individuals. The kisei kavoid yanchilem, in this chair, this throne of honor, you will inherit, you will be endowed, as it says here. Ki Hashem mitsuke eretz, because for Hashem are the mitsuke eretz, which the Mesudas Sion says, it's the Ratzalomer, the Hayisodos Bahamudim, the pillars of the earth, the Yoshes Aleihem Sevel, and upon them he sets the world. So the reason why, what's the word of this particular pasuk, which is so commonly recited as at least the part of it from Hallel, is because the whole Indian of Hallel is that we go from one state to the next. We go from the status of Miyagoin, Lasimcha, Eimel Yomtov. We completely change in times of tragedy. Hashem is able to perform Nisim, V'Niflaois, and we're able to be saved through Him. And this is perhaps the significance of what Chana is saying, that she's comparing herself to being among the ashbais, among the dirt and the garbage, and Hashem was the one who was able to lift her up and assist her by giving her a child. But the idea of Hallel and the idea of what Chana is saying is that we should never lose hope, that no matter how far you have fallen, Hashem is always able to lift us up and assist us. And that's the message of Hallel on a more of a global scale.
Is the difference in Evyon and Rosh? Morish, Ashur? Poor person becomes rich in Evyon.
So, I'm not really sure the exact different translations.
The Mesudas Sion says Evyon is Ata'eva Chaldova.
Right.
Apparently he's...
You have nothing.
He's worse than...
Evyon is worse,
he's worse than just below the poverty line.
Right. That's what it sounds like. Moirish is... You're an ani. It's poor. But if you look at the Mesudas Sion, the pasuk that it quotes in Shmuel Ben, it says, the Larosh Ein Kol. I don't know what Ein Kol means. You have nothing, or you don't have all of your need. You don't have... Ein Kol sounds like you don't have anything, also. So... It kind of doesn't help us much. So forget about that pasuk, but the way that the way the Mesudas Sion just translates the word Evyon sounds like that's even worse. So certainly that's what it sounds like. All right. Okay. Fine. And if we look on the English over here, this is basically, as we said, this is the Indian
Course Queen of the Rabban. How does it translate Rosh and Evyon in English?
Which
English translation of
Evyon? Well, Rosh Hashem, from the word Hashem Morish, that one is Pasuk Zion, impoverishes. Impoverish.
Destitute.
I'm not sure what the difference between those. To be impoverished and to be destitute sounds worse. It sounds worse, which is consistent with the translation of Mesudas Sion, at least the way we're reading it. If we look at the English, it says...
All the different words is Oni, Dal, Rosh, Evyon.
Well, yeah, different levels.
Words for poverty, so it must be all different.
Depends what text bracket you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But, you know, the real parallel here is...
Yes?
May Afar Dal, may I spoke Yerim Evyon. So if Afar means from the dust or from the earth, and the Ashba is the garbage, so you would assume that that Dal is... Dal goes with Afar, and Evyon goes with the Ashba.
Right. What's the difference between the Ashba and the Afar? The Afar is never was anything.
You're
Ashba, there was something of value in the leftovers or the garbage.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one thing to be in the dirt, in the dust, on the earth. Another thing to be in a pile of dust, or to be in a pile of garbage is worse.
That's, again, makes sense why Evion, the destitute, is connected to the absolute the worst possible scenarios to Evion. Okay, so but as the Ralbag over here in English basically says, we've been talking about that this is the reason why Chana focuses on this way, is because that was the way that she compared herself. That it wasn't, even though she had all of her physical needs, but the fact that she could not have a child, she was compared to someone so destitute that someone who lacked the basic human needs. Of course, to clean the streets of filth, she says. Okay, but fortunately for her, as her tefillahs indicate, that she was elevated by Hashem to a completely different level. Pasuk Tes. So we have two more pesukim. You'll see on the side, this is where the Haftorah, the last two pesukim of the Haftorah, and also the last two pesukim of her song. Pasuk Tes. Raglei chasi dov. Interesting, the Kri and the Ksiv are different. I'm going to focus on that in a moment. So Raglei chasi dov yishmor. So he guards the steps of the chasi dov. The ones in plural, those who are Hasidim. Rishoyim b'choshech yidomu. Those who are Rishoyim will be yidomu in choshech, in darkness. Yidomu is translated, Yichursu, they're going to be cut off. Which translates, they'll be stilled in darkness. We're on page 14. Ki lo b'koach yigvar ish. Ki lo b'koach yigvar ish. For not through strength does man prevail, as it's translated over here. Okay, so we look at Rashi over here. Rashi focuses on the difference between the Kri and the Ksiv of Ragli Chasidav Yishmor. Chasidav, which would be singular, Chasidav, which is Rabim, which is the way it's read. So the Rashi says, Chasidav Ksiv, Chasidav Kri Ben Yochev Ben Rabim. So which means it doesn't make a difference on us as she's speaking about herself, or on a communal level, or on a multitude, looking at an entire nation, this is how Hashem deals. Hashem guards the steps of everyone, not just on an individual level, the Hashgacha Pratit, but also on a more general scale as well. That's how Rashi interprets this. Now, it's brought down in the Medrash Shmuel, which unfortunately is not in front of you, that it's interpreted, the Medrash Shmuel says that when the Pasuk says Ragli Chasidav, so why is it, if it's true that it's Chasidav, so why is it written differently than the way that it's read, this particular word? Why is the Kri and the Ksiv different? So the reason, as the Medrash Shmuel says, is it is specifically talking about one individual. That Ragli Chasidav Yishmor, that's referring to Yosef Atzad. That this Pasuk is being alluded to the great act of Yosef HaTzadik, that he did not accept temptations of Eishes Potiphar. And the second part of the pasuk explains the Medrash Shmuel, when it says Rishoyim b'choshech yidomu, that he did not listen to the acts of that which could have been in the darkness by someone who acted with wickedness, Zu Ishto Shel Potiphar. That's what the pasuk is saying. And then it says Ki lo b'koach yigbar ish, which is how the pasuk ends. Ki lo b'koach yigbar ish, for not through strength does a man prevail. What does this mean? So as the Medrash says, this is referring to Ezu gibor hakoivesh es yitzray, that Yosef HaTzadik was able to conquer his yitzray harosh. Yosef HaTzadik hu hachosid hayechidi shel hadoros. Sadik Yisod Oilun. He was considered to be the number one Sadik based on what we call him. And therefore he says like this, V'shomer osim in aveira al yedei shedomos aviv niru lo b'chaloyim. It says that the reason why he was able to be saved from chet is not based on his own schus, but rather on the fact that he looked out of a window and it had the appearance of his father. V'zehu ki lo b'koach yigbar ish. That's what it means. It wasn't his own schus, based on his own being able to be Kavish Yisitzro, but it was upon gazing at the likeness of his father. And that's therefore the reason why it says in conclusion, why it's written in Lashon Yochid, that it's specifically talking about Yosef HaTzadik. However, we have the ability as Lashon Rabim, as Rashi says, to be able to also take upon ourselves, like Yosef did, as our role model, to be able to lisgaber al yetzer ha'avera, to be able to control ourselves as Yosef HaTzadik did from avera. Therefore, that's how that's alluded to in these psukim. Okay, and that's also it's brought down here, I believe, as well in the English on page 15 a little bit. It talks about the importance of not only Yosef HaTzadik but on ourselves. Pasuk Yud.
Is Yosef considered a gibor or not? Is it Kovach Yitzro or?
But it was only. Apparently, the way that the Medrash is saying was not based on his own sources. Of course, he was. He was the one that was there. But it was through the means of.
Well, if he was, then we would call himself Yosef a tzaddik. We would call him Yosef a gibor.
Well, he's a gibor because he was able to be Kovach Yitzro. But he was a tzaddik for being able to be Kodesh Yisro.
Who do we call Gibor?
Yeah.
Shimshon Gibor. And we know why he wasn't exactly.
He was not
Gibor. Why is a Gibor of Kodesh Yisro? Yeah. That's also a Gibor.
But he was. But he's saying
Shimshon
he was not
Gibor. But Shimshon was not Kodesh Yisro. There was someone called Delilah there. And others.
Plus a kid. Hashem.
I think there's a.
It wasn't
enough. And I think there's an interesting tie-in of Ragli Chassid of Yishma. That Hashem is watching the steps of the righteous ones, right?
Right.
Because not with strength does a person prevail. Is that what he says? He says, for not through strength does man prevail. And I was saying that that's referring to Yosef HaTzadik.
That's
so what are we saying? That Hashem saved Yosef HaTzadik by showing him the demus of his father and all those kind of ways, right? But it was ultimately Yosef HaTzadik who did that.
Right.
So it was through a certain karech that Yosef HaTzadik had.
Sure.
Unless what he's telling you in this pasuk is that no matter what you're going to do, you still need the siyata d'shmaya to be successful in what you're doing.
Right.
He had the inspiration, but he still didn't.
Right. That's so. What you're saying is that's really the words of this pasuk of Ragli Chassid of Yishma. Hashem is kind of watching and steering us in a direction so that we're not just going to be completely left all on our own. So that's the idea. Kulo b'koach higmarish.
But it's almost
Hashem gave us the Yitzhahara. But Hashem gives us a little bit of the ability to battle it,
or to lose the battle, for that matter. That's the next part of the pasuk. Rishon b'choshech yidomu. And ultimately, it's Hashem, because it's not b'kayach one way or another that a person becomes strong. That ultimately,
so he lost the chirah. So Yosef didn't have the chirah.
No, same. That person has to do either his shtadlik, whichever derech you want to go, Hashem's going to help you go. That's what this pasuk is telling you. That's how I understand this pasuk. That's how it takes you.
That if you want to say why is this referring to Yosef, there's almost a remez here. If you want to read it, maybe it's reading too much into it. I want to read into it as a remez. It says, Ragle Hasida, Yosef is considered Yisod. The Raglayim is like the Yisod. The name Yosef is almost the word Yisod.
Yeah.
If you look at it in print.
Sadik Yisod Olam.
And Tava Sharia, Yosef looks like Yisod.
Right.
It can be also be looked as a post facto thing. In other words, it's Sadik makes a decision. Makes the whole thing reason. But Hashem is watching.
Seals the faith.
No, they guards him after that for the consequences of what he did. What did he do? He suffered the consequences. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarded him, watched him, that he should not before really get into real trouble.
So he made a decision. Went to jail and went to.
But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still watched him. He still was in
right.
Some way thing. So it's not that beforehand that thing, but it's a post facto God. And the same thing with Rishonim. Rishonim may succeed at the beginning in whatever the initial actions are, but ultimately, the Kodesh Baruch Hu flips the coin on it.
I mean, you're also assuming that Yosef knew the Torah before Matan Torah, but even if Yosef, assuming he knew the Torah, Yosef was in a position where his test actually, he could have rationalized. He could have said, this is not Eshet Re'egu, it's not my Re'ah, it's a non-Jew, it's a...
That's
it's
right.
A,
I mean, what would have been, the Maaseh is, what would have been the real thing chet of Yosef HaTzadik if he had to come to what would it be? Was an Eshet Re'egu.
Potiphar's wife saw the Nebuah that Yosef was going to have children too.
And he did.
Her daughter.
Okay, fine.
She didn't know that at the time.
Right.
Okay, but the mindset
is when she was doing this. She was doing this.
That's the Kerach Shmuel thing again.
But the thing is, the initial perception on this, the initial diet change, this thing is that would have been a terrible hate on his side if we had to come to this, to the temptation. What would have been the big hate? What was going to be Gavna over here on this?
If he had
that relationship with him.
He was doing it for God and country.
Well, nothing, whatever it was.
It could have led him down a certain path that he would not be what he was.
What would have been the actual?
Yeah, very. What would the
Avera have been?
What is he saying? He could have rationalized.
What would have been? He did the righteous things. He did the right things. It's not that.
There's some people that say they wouldn't go out in the streets and commit a murder, but when they to park in the past the time of a meter or park in an illegal zone, when he doesn't see any cops around, thinks he's going to get away with it, would do it. He wouldn't even do that. Even this is a lesser of Abraham.
We're not talking about what he would have parked himself, whatever would have parked. We're talking about if you park and you're over the time limit, you are not committed a transgression of the law. My question is, what would have been the transgression of the law if he had relationships with
him? He would have been a voracious ish. They were required to observe also. There were Eshet Ish with Sheva Mitzvahs.
He himself said, that's what he said. So what do you, let's say it wasn't such a big affair. So what are you trying to get to?
He said,
it's interesting. If you see the psukim over there, if you look in the psukim over there, you'll in which parsha Ba'esha, you'll see that when he justifies why he should not, it's by Shishi, that why he should not be with her. He says, then the last two words in the pasuk is, what is the last two words in the pasuk? You have it there? The chetel elokim or something like that, right?
Right.
It seems like it's almost like a last sign.
Okay,
by the way.
Okay, so what is the pshat? That's not the right thing to do. It wasn't the right thing to do. It was the wrong thing to do.
Right. After I was trusted,
I don't think it would have been there's no definition on it.
Because it's.
I think we're trying to stretch this to fit Yosef's.
This is what says is the Medrash Shmuel. So. Pasuk, let's move on to Pasuk Yud. This is the last Pasuk, which some say this is out of the 10 Sukkim. This is really the only one, which is a Tefillah. Hashem Yichatu Merivah. Hashem should Yichatu says the Mesudas Sion is a lashon of Yishbru. Hashem should shatter and break Marivav, the enemies. Allah b'shemayim yareim.
Excuse me, this is exactly Rashi says what you said.
What's that?
The chatos el olakim, Rashi Yosef said, b'nei noach nitzlav all arrives.
All right. I see Rashi agrees with me.
Okay. Allah b'shemayim yareim. Yareim is malash and ra'am v'rosh, that there's like a thunder. It says, let the heavens thunder against them, our enemies. Hashem yodin afse aretz. Hashem should judge them by the afse aretz ksosis by the edge of the land. V'yitin oz l'malkoi. Hashem should give strength to the, and power to the melech. There's no king yet. V'yorim keren mishicho. And raise the pride of his mishicho, the one who was anointed. So if we look at the Radak over here, the Radak says on the very bottom of page 14, V'yitin oz l'malko v'yorim keren mishicho. It says, so couple dabar ki melechu ha-mashiach, v'amra hine zel derech nevua o derech kabbalah. Again, as we mentioned before, with regard to Hashem Memis Machaya, she's saying nevua over here. What's the nevuah? Ki ha'isa kabbalah etzlo ki asid liyos melech v'yisrael. There's no king yet. But she's saying in the future there will be a king. That's what the Pasuk says. That Hashem should give strength and power. V'yitin oz l'malko. It's referring to Melech Blasim Adam. Then it says, V'chasma hashir hazos. So how did she seal this 10 sukkim, this song? V'divri ha'melech. With the words of the king, Lafisha Zachra, Mepelos Rishayim, she's going to see the downfall of the Rishayim, Behem Oive Yisrael, which is referring to the enemies of Israel, some referring to the Plishtim, which we're going to see time and time again fighting against Klai Yisrael. The Amr, Kiakel Yitin Ozel Melech Yisrael, Shiyoshi Yisrael, Al Yadoi Miyadoi Vehem, that the king should be able to have the power and the strength to be able to fight against our enemies. The Amr Zabaderach Nevuah, it was a prophecy. Ramzo b'zesh al yidei Shmuel b'na yehi melech b'Yisrael v'hu yam shichenu. So you're saying that with regard to my son Shmuel, that is going to be part of the anointing, who will be anointing the melech, will be anointing the first two kings, Shaul as well as David, that this is what she was referring to, that she's going to her son, B'yarim Karen Mashicho, the one who did the anointing. This is what she's alluding to. And then the Masudas David continues based on what we're saying toward the bottom. The Yoram Kerim Mashicho al David Amra. This is referring to not even the first Melech, but by David. Ki Shmuel bina rak Mashicho al Melech. Because only by Shmuel, her son, anointed it to a king. Of Elohim Lichu b'chayav. But it was not anointed did not become a king in his lifetime. Kishmul Meis, because Shmuel is going to die in the middle of Shmuel Aleph, toward the end of it. But Odenu lo Melech ad Achazman, Shaul was still the king, and therefore the Hatzfila Lav Chana Shiram Keren Mem Shalto. That it should be that the second king, the one that was anointed by my son Shmuel, that David should be able to have success. So whichever way you look at it, so this is the tefillah that she was saying on their behalf. Now it's also, if we recall all the way, if we jump all the way back to page 10 for just a moment, we remember that this very lengthy redak said that all these psukim were as a nevuah. It was not just talking about herself, that she was happy that she had a child, but it's also referring to futuristic things which happened to Klai Yisrael. And if you see five lines from the bottom of the Radak, quoting the Pasuk Yud, we saw that all these different psukim alluded to different generations, Nebuchadnezzar, Sancheriv, Antiochus, Haman. So the Pasuk Yud, which we said, Hashem Yichatu Mariba, that Hashem should be able to destroy and shatter the enemies, it's not referring to the Plishtim, as some explained, but according to this, it's Din Gog Umagog, Malchus Mashichenu. So it's referring to not even the days of her son or days of David, but it's referring to the days of Mashiach that she's alluding to, that we should be successful in those battles as well. Okay, so that was her tefillah. Let's move on to Pasuk Gedal. So that's Shmuel is born. Chana thanks Hashem for his birth. Now we can go to the next psukim, starting with Pasuk Gedal, which now go back to the story of Eli and Elkanah, but really Eli, and more specifically the next bunch of psukim, his sons, Hophni and Pinchas, and how although Eli was a righteous Kohen, nonetheless, Hophni and Pinchas were anything but. We'll have to discuss why they were so much unlike their father, which I guess is not necessarily so uncommon. Pasuk Gedal, Vayelech Elkanah Haramasa Al Beso. So Elkanah went to Ramat Al Beso, or as we see on El Beso, some say that he went toward his house. He went to his house only, not because that, it was almost like something which he didn't always do. It was a secondary thing. He only went there when need be. Otherwise, he would be staying in Shiloh. Vanar Hoye Mishari says Hashem as Pnei Eli HaKohen. In the meantime, the Nar, which of course is referring to Shmuel, he was Misharis as Hashem. He was serving Hashem in front of Eli the Kohen. The question is, if he's a Nar, he's not an adult. If he's not an adult, how is he Misharis as Hashem? How is he serving Hashem? He's too young, right? Okay. So we look at Rashi. Rashi says, you're right. Doesn't really mean he was Misharis as Hashem. He was actually an apprentice to Eli, and therefore he wasn't actually doing any of the avodah. So, but Rashi says a very important concept. Mekan mashmish pnei talmid chachamim kemishamish pnei shechina. Someone who's mishamish pnei talmid chachamim, who serves the talmid chacham, in which Eli certainly was. It's akin and just like serving Hashem. And by looking at a tzaddik and studying the actions of a talmid chacham, it gives us a perspective of how we're supposed to serve Hashem. And therefore, even though we're not necessarily serving Hashem, but rather we're serving the Talmud Chacham, but by doing so, it'll give us the tools necessary for us to afterwards serve Hashem properly. That's how some interpret that.
Who's the Nar here?
Shmuel. Because at this point, he's now no longer at his house. He was already weaned at the age of 2, and he's now constantly in the under the tutelage of Eli. Yeah, he's in the Shiloh. And Eli, Elkanah, went back to his house in Ramata. We look at the Radak on Pasuk Yud Aleph, Et Pnei Eli Kmo Lifnei, means in front of Kolomer Shahoy Eli Melamdo Avodas Hashem. So he was obviously involved in the service. That's also Mr. David says something similarly to. Pasuk Yud Bet. So, as we learned about the great outsider by the name of Shmuel, you would think certainly Kavachomer, Eli's children would be much better, or certainly equivalent to Shmuel. Plus, you could bet, B'nei Eli, B'nei Belial. But the children of Eli were B'nei Belial, people who had no yoke, or as the Radak says, B'nei Rasha. They were Rashaim. They acted not properly. Lo Yadu as Hashem. They did not know Hashem. They were Tinik Shnishpa. They knew nothing. What does that mean? They had no education. They had the greatest possible Talmud Chacham of a father. How is it possible? Lo Yadu as Hashem.
Why did they use the terminology Lo Yadu as Hashem?
That's very strange.
It's a very strong position. For
right. So that's why the Radak tweaks it a little bit. Just go down a few lines from where we saw the words B'nei Belial, that the Ibramachil, Lo Hoye Yodim Derech Hashem, Shehoye Osim Masa Rosh Bekonosam, Kamosh Mesaper Bahoylech Mahayosim. We'll talk about what they did shortly in the Psukim, but it doesn't mean that they didn't know Hashem, but the way that they acted showed as though they did not know Hashem. They acted in a way which was as though they did not have the proper education, the proper background. Again, the purpose of this, as the Mefarshim explained, is like the smichas of parshas, if you will, the connection from one pasuk to the next, is to show that they became Bnei Belial because of their lack of service to Hashem and their lack of learning Torah. Unlike Shmuel, who was constantly Mishares as Hashem. So if you're a Mishares as Hashem, ultimately what you'll end up being is you'll be able to serve Hashem properly, as opposed to someone such as the children of Eli, who did not serve Hashem properly, and therefore they became Bnei Belial, and therefore lo yado as Hashem. Not that they didn't know Hashem, but that's how it appeared.
It's interesting to me, and I don't know if anybody comments on this, but if you take Bnei Eli, the letters of the word Eli, and then it says Bnei Belial, you have the word Eli and the word Belial.
Right. So how would you translate that into Bnei Belial?
I really don't know, why the choice of Bnei Belial? You know, they could say all sorts of things to say negative about them. They choose the word Belial, which has the word Eli in it.
Which almost sounds like, if you look at the English on page 17, something like what the Abarbanel says. That the verse means to say that even though Chafi and Pinchas were the sons of a holy and righteous man, they conduct themselves as if they had been raised by a lawless person, as though that they were Bli Eli, as though that they were children without the influence of having a father such as Eli. So maybe that's Bli Ol, right? That's without the Ol Malchus Shemayim. Yeah, that's also true. Okay, let's move on to the next pasuk Yud Gimel, which will give us a little understanding of what they did, which was not so good. We're going to see some of them, and we'll see the rest next week. Umishpat haKohanim esam. Mishpat is translated here in Mesudas Yom as Minhag. This was the custom of this Kohan. This is their practice, that the way they treated the nation. Kol ish levech zevach. Anyone brought a carbon, which is a carbon shlomim, as the Mepharshim say. Uvah na'ar ha-kohen, kivashel ha-basar, mazlik shosh ha-shinayim, the famous picture of the mazlik, the fork, which has shosh shinayim, three prongs. And this is what they would hold, this was held biyado, in their hands. But you'll see, the pasuk says, uvah na'ar ha-kohen, right? Which means that when people would bring it, the Kohen's attendant would do so. This is not them. This is the people that attended and assisted. One more pasuk. Behiko bekior obadud obekalchachat obeparur, which all these different things, as the Mesudas Sion says, him kli bishul. These are all different pots, whatever you translate them. So they would have all the meat in a pot. Kol asher ya'ale. So the Kohen would take this three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would stick it in there, and obviously a whole bunch of meat would come up with three huge prongs. It was like a pitchfork stabbing in there, getting a whole lot of meat, which apparently means that they took more than they were supposed to. This is what they did to all the people that came to Shiloh. And some of the Mepharshim explain, the Malbim does, that the keywords is L'chol Yisrael. They didn't distinguish. If you were wealthy, you were dirt poor, it didn't make a difference. It was L'chol Yisrael, they could care less. If this was the only amount of food that you'll have, that's
fair.
All they'll take.
They were fair.
They were fair. But they were fair to the poor and to the destitute, to the impoverished. L'chol Yisrael, they even took more than their share to...
They took more than the ship of it, took it from heaven.
Right, which not very nice, but yeah, they took from everyone, so they stole equally from everyone.
Equal opportunity thieves.
Right, exactly. Pasuk test bob gam b'terem yak tiru
and esachelif. What did they do with all this meat?
They sold it a lot more. They sold it.
They couldn't sell it. They couldn't take it out of.
They ate it. So they ate it.
They're looking at a boss of the Oakland.
Yes. They ate it, friend. They had a desire for meat.
There's a lot of people that
That's what's called Jerusalem Steakhouse.
Pasuk Tezvav. Gam b'terem yachtiru nesachelov. Also, before they would actually burn the fats. Nar hakohen. So the Nar hakohen. It's important to point out. It does not mention Chavi and Pinchas' names. It mentions Nar HaKohen, which a lot of the Mepharshim say were not Chavi or Pinchas, but rather their assistants. Ve'omar le'ish ha-zoveach, and they would say to this guy, Tino Basar, what's Lissos HaKohen? Give us some meat for roasting. Ve'yikach mimcha basar mevushal ki'imcha, and they would take it
before it was cooked.
Right, while it's raw. So they would say, okay, we'll let you take, after we finish this process of the burning of the fats, take whatever your soul desires. V'yomer v'omar lo, which is in a different Korean exhibit, he said, no, ki ata titan, want it now. V'im lo, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to take it, lokachti b'chazak, I'm going to take it forcefully. V'ati chatas ha-na'orim gedola ma'od es p'nei Hashem. This was obviously a tremendous chat, a terrible thing. Ki ni'atsu ha-noshim is minchas Hashem. Ki ni'atsu is the Lashon, Rashi says, is Lashon b'zoyom. It was a chil Hashem, disgraced Hashem's karbanos, to the point that this is how some interpret why in the days of Elkanah, no one was going to Shiloh anymore. And Elkanah had to convince people to be oil regal again because people just didn't... people were just not impressed whatsoever the way that they conducted themselves. And therefore, the way that Chafi and Pinchas acted, assuming it was Chafi and Pinchas, which really was not. Okay. So according, if it was in fact...
It was their assistance?
It was their assistance. Right, so that's how some of the Mepharshim explain.
Take a look at the last line of the Suda Sabbat. These assistants learn from them.
Go ahead, where is this?
The last line in Suda Sabbat.
Ki b'nei eli bazu minchas Hashem, u'mehem lomdu ha-na'or l'achdoi, o'y yosir b'nevar
b'zayin. They learn better than they did.
Okay, that's how the Masudas Dovid says it, because that way it gives a credit to them for making that mistake. Alternatively, some explain that not that they did anything wrong, but that it's brought down over in English. I'm not sure who's quoting,
but he's over here also.
Says that because they did not properly supervise and rebuke the attendants, they led the nation to think that they approve of such rude and greedy behavior. So not that they did anything wrong, but the fact that they, in their presence, they saw they had people which they could have rebuked, and they didn't, so therefore it caused the Chil Hashem that they did not protest as they should have. That's how some explain
that's
it.
That's probably why the Puzzle Palace says, Ailey went back to his house in Ramah, so he didn't witness any of this. Otherwise, why would you blame
Abel
for the same reason?
Elkanah. We are going to see next week, starting in Pasuk Chaf Bet.
Why wasn't they blamed for all this?
Some people do blame him, but some people say we don't blame him because of Pasuk Chaf Bet. We're going to see Ve'eli Zakein Ma'od. So he really didn't know what was going on anymore.
He asked them, why are you doing this? He said, why are you doing this?
His children were killed.
He's going to be also...
For the sin of allowing this to occur under his watch.
Right. But some people say that even though he could have protested more than he did, or he shouldn't have allowed Chafni and Pinchas to have taken so much power.
Well, Yishmu Kukal Avian later on, so they didn't listen.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes but, you get a kid
but it could have been, you know, some say it was like again, too little, too late.
In a way,
but,
you,
yeah.
You look at Ailey and say that, yeah, Ailey, we started out saying that he rebuked Kana inappropriately. Now when it was appropriate to rebuke his sons, he did not rebuke them. There's got to be something there.
You can almost, I guess we can maybe talk about this more next week, but maybe it's because he falsely accused someone of something, so maybe, you know, like once bitten, twice shy, doesn't want to accuse his own children of something. So, you know, I'm not going to jump to conclusions anymore, but ultimately
he does accuse
his
children.
But eventually he will. So some of the Farshim, let's conclude with this last thought, and then we'll call it a day, is that some say that, let's say it was them that did it, according to the way that Masudas Dov interprets it, and then this is how the attendants thereafter acted. So this you may or may not like, but this is actually a quote from...
It's okay, Joel's not here.
Well, he says like this... The Efsher, I think this is actually a quote from the Zohar at some point, I believe. The Efsher Sha'af Shehem B'tchila Asukein Mishum Chivav Mitzvah. They were doing it Lishma.
Yeah, it's the worst
mitzvah. What? And he says a story that there was, there's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, I'll just say it to you outside. There was Rav Kahana, he used to grab onto the Matnas Kahuna. Because he learned that by grabbing it, it shows the chavivus of the mitzvos. And the whole question is, that was asked is that, is that show chavivus to the mitzvah? Or is that mezalzel b'mitzvah? And then Abaye said, this is what Abaye said. Originally, havi chatifna matanta. I used to grab onto it right away without asking, and I thought that was chivuvikom chavnina b'mitzvah. I was doing chivuvus b'mitzvah. But once I heard that you're supposed to be v'nasan, that's supposed to be given, so I never grabbed anymore. But all I would do is say, give to me. But then afterwards he learned that you shouldn't even say, give to me, therefore memer namilo amrinan, I don't say anything, but rather I wait until they give me, and only then I accept. So therefore some mafarshim say, this is a lot on this, that lakach esher detchilas hadavar hoya aldi chivav mitzvah. Maybe originally it was chavivas of the mitzvah. And then as they did so, maybe they lost that level of chavivas, ended up becoming a zilzal, or that they did it with the proper intentions, because they were on a higher madrega. They were the children of Eli. But the attendants, who were just the nobodies who learned, they looked at it, and they modeled that behavior, but it wasn't to them chivav mitzvah. And therefore, because they didn't educate those assistants, therefore they're going to be held accountable for the way that they behaved as well.